Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
It's Kyle O'Reilly.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
I'm Rocky Asuka Romero.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk, home of Lou Gowen.
Support WrestleTalk.
Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Lou Gowen is, quote the Raven, nevermore.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it. Bro.
But you really should support WrestleTalk, and you should follow them and subscribe right now.
Ollie told me to say this, so I guess it's okay.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Make sure you watch and listen to WrestleTalk.
Or better yet, take just a moment, stop what you're doing, and bask in their glory.
Do us all a favor and subscribe.
Congratulations, you got here. Now subscribe and support. Thanks.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen and some drilling that literally just started.
Yeah. Hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you, apart from being very busy?
I am doing good. Yeah, I just ran in here from another meeting,
yep.
forwarded an email, and yeah, just...
Getting ready to go for another meeting once we're done here.
No, it's chock-a-block.
Yeah, it's chopper-block.
Well, he is in this room. I don't know why he's in this room. This is podcast time.
It's because I like to get organized for my super chats. I'm
nice.
Already starting to curate them for the stream. So
Pete's got big plans that might sort of quell the super chat debate. I know we said we put a pin in the super chat debate.
Yes.
And we have for your say, right? So we don't care anymore about what you say. We've heard everything.
It's obviously not true. We do care about what you say. We care about the feedback that we get on this podcast. On that note,
I wasn't finished.
Well, sorry, I just wanted to message because Jesse did email in to say, I don't have Twitter and will never get Twitter, and I'm not sure how fair a load of your listeners are probably on the same level and therefore can't participate in the pod poll, which their point was perhaps the pod poll wasn't a true reflection. My argument to that would be, if we'd have done it on a different platform, some people might not have been on that. You're never going to be able to please everyone on what platform you put it on.
Do you have to have Twitter to vote in a poll on Twitter?
Oh, yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Because you can just look at Twitter posts and Twitter polls and just click a button. I don't think you have to be signed in.
I have absolutely no idea, to be honest. But we did it on Twitter because that's where we've done our previous pod polls before.
And we'd put a link for it and everything.
Yeah.
But, so I agree that Pete just running through a bunch of comments, a lot of which don't really necessitate any response. They're just funny comments that people have super chatted. And then it cuts to us and we go, yeah. I agree. That's maybe not the best use of super chats.
This is where people say they're a bit cringy at times because they say something that they think is funny, we don't laugh, and then it is just awkward silence.
Yeah, and there's somewhere we're just like, I think they mean this thing.
Yeah.
So one way around that is the curation of super chats, and hopefully that will be a thing where, you know, like, if it is that kind of super chat, it can flash up on the actual video as opposed to just on the interface, on the video, like a Streamlabs, with a little GIF. It'll be funny, but we won't actually verbally acknowledge it,
yeah,
for podcast listeners. This is the best. But then Pete will curate the best ones. Oh, Luke's raised his hand.
That's going to annoy the YouTube audience, though.
Oh, do you think?
I think that will annoy
the YouTube
audience.
But there's a visual component to it.
Yes, but I think that people will say that detracts from the video. And because we're not reacting to them, it's just getting in the way of them watching it.
ah. You see, I don't think a lot of... I think our video version of the Wrestle Ramble, if anything, needs more motion.
I'm just putting
because,
it out
like,
there.
You look at BBC News and you've got the ticker and you've got all the stories flashing up and league tables. That's essentially what the Wrestle Ramble should be.
Well, I completely agree. I'm just saying, do you remember when we put... you can download the podcast on these platforms and people lost their goddamn minds.
It was a little strip at the bottom of the video
that
just said, you can download the podcast here, do this here.
No, it literally said, podcast available on iTunes, on Acast, and there were every comment was like, get your goddamn adverts out of my video! It's long enough as it is. You don't need to tell me there's a podcast available. I hate adverts.
Yeah. So, we'll try. We'll at least try. Because, again, they might be a vocal minority. We're trying to please the maximum amount of people.
Which is never going to happen. But we can always try.
We can try.
Do you want some positive feedback?
Ooh. No.
Because this comes in from Matt, who says, hello, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, Pete, Simon, not Randy, all the wrestle types, and not forgetting Blake Ham, you piece of crap. Greetings from Sweden. I'm a bit behind on my podcast as I've been on holiday for a few weeks. Anyway, after listening to all the negative feedback you've been getting about Super Chats and iTunes reviews, I thought I would email you guys and tell you what I like about the podcast rather than what I don't. I really enjoy the intro and outro, the banter on the podcast, crap gimmicks, and I especially enjoy the occasional impression of wrestlers. When you and Ollie were talking about The Undertaker needing one more soul a couple of weeks ago, I was laughing so hard someone came into my office to make sure I was okay. Keep up the solid and consistent content. On a side note, I saw Weezer in the summer in Stockholm and mercifully they just played a greatest hits set.
Yeah, they know what the audience want.
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah. They were awesome. It was my son William's first gig, and he really enjoyed it. It means this year he's been to a WWE live event in Stockholm for the first time and went to his first gig, which was Weezer. Not a bad summer for a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Do you know what's happening with crap gimmicks? I sent a beauty to Pete and copied you in while you were on holiday. The reason why we haven't done crap gimmicks for a while is just because we've had so many... And to be honest, if you really like crap gimmicks, there's going to be at least another 2-3 weeks of no crap gimmicks. We've got... Well, because we didn't do a mailbag show this week, which means we've actually now got 3 to 4 weeks worth of backlog of mailbags. Mm. I'm wondering whether I should just put a cap on them, just because a lot of them will just be out of date now. I might just have to go through and curate them and sort of like just only keep the timely ones.
Yeah, we've got the quite nice problem of people send us too many things.
Yes.
And that's great. But now, because we previously had a commitment of we're going to read all those things out on the shows, it's sort of become a bit unmanageable.
And Ollie doesn't like to do work. So
that is a big part of it.
And so we'll do a video. We'll be like, well, can you get through these mailbag questions? And Ollie will look at me and go, could we just keep it shorter, though?
Could we do an extra 15 minutes? Or does Ollie need to go and make the business run? Or does everyone want to keep their jobs? You know, like it's a difficult balance.
Really,
and maybe
is.
I'm making the wrong one, giving everybody jobs.
Anyway, we've got this other nice bit of update as well. This is a an Agony Art update.
Ooh.
So it says, hey, Luke, Ollie, Fake Door Chopper, but not anyone who rolls their R's. Back in October, I sent you an email about possibly moving to China to teach English or stay with my girlfriend, brackets, who I live with.
Yeah.
Well, after a long consideration, I decided to go with my heart and I choose love. The love I have for Chinese food. So I moved to China.
What a swerve.
So I moved to China and I'm now happily teaching kids phonics and all that jazz whilst watching wrestling at 7 a.m. Thanks for keeping me entertained. I hope I'm your first listener in China, brackets, I'm bored with North Korea, by the way, and maybe one day I'll pop up an OEW after I save up enough money to train. It's hot as jog here, and I couldn't be happier. P.S. Ollie, the advice of, quote, you'll probably cheat on each other anyway.
Can I say that?
End quote. And people wonder why we stopped doing Agony Arts.
But
was, and I'm going to edit this word, terrible advice. He used an expletive to describe it. Was terrible advice, and I'm glad you stopped giving. And I'm glad you stopped giving people some brackets. I did laugh my head off though. Close brackets. Peace, love, and graps. That's from Vacant.
Well, that was the point of Agony Arts, was to give bad advice that everyone deep down knows is the right advice.
Right, should we get into the show because because you're business today, you've got a business to run and keep us all employed. We've got to cut some of these intros and outros short today, but we'll be back shortly once we have talked about, was that the best WWE match of 2019? Spoilers, no, it wasn't. Here's the show.
We had Roman Reigns in a grudge match against Buddy Murphy on this week's SmackDown. Of course, Roman had sort of beaten up Buddy Murphy and really taken him under duress.
Mm-hmm.
Not waterboarding, but he pinned him up against the wall and forced an answer out of him. Who has been attacking me? I know you saw who it was because you were in that vicinity. You've been seen. And he gave the name Rowan.
Yes.
And then at SummerSlam and Buddy Murphy's match, Rowan attacked him. And then Roman hasn't been around at all, really. And for some reason, this match was booked, even though Roman and Buddy,
I believe,
don't really
Buddy
have any beef.
Buddy Murphy challenged him to a match.
Well, that's cool then. That's
good. On Twitter.
Yes. Well, that would have been lovely to have seen
on television.
On television, that's a good angle. But they had this match, and at the start, I was like, "This is Buddy Murphy's first TV match.
He's been here for 4 months on SmackDown,"
and I was worried about it. And I thought, I really hope this is like Drew and Cedric from Raw, which is a perfect example of getting both guys over in a fantastic match that gets time on TV. Drew looks great. Cedric looks great. I'm more into them. They are both more over. And that's the best thing you can do in wrestling. Do a segment or a match where all the people involved are more interesting than they were before.
Absolutely. That's what you want from these sorts of matches.
And as this match went on, like, there were so many points where I was like, oh God, this is where Roman just beats him. Oh God, this is where Roman just beats him. But to their absolute credit, they got a load of time. Buddy Murphy got in a ton of offense. This wasn't like Cedric Drew, where Drew took the vast majority and Cedric would hit a move and get a really good near fall. This was pretty 50-50.
Yeah, absolutely. Throughout. And the commentators at the end were really putting it over that Buddy took Roman to his limit, which I know, like, they say all the time, so it doesn't really hold a lot of water. But it did feel that Buddy Murphy was on Roman's level at the end of this match. He had some great two counts, but a terrific near fall off that brainbuster where people legit thought that was the finish and Buddy was going to beat him.
Mm.
And like, as a viewer at home, I got, as this match went on, like you, I had a bit of like a pang of dread about me because he didn't get an entrance.
Yes.
And Roman did. And I was like, oh no, he's been given the jobber entrance treatment. So I already had like a bit of, oh dear, this is not off to the best of starts. But Buddy Murphy is so good. And Roman, to his credit, is so good. Roman knew exactly how to structure this match in order to give Buddy as much as possible while giving himself something so they both come out of it looking great. It was just so well pitched and so well executed by both guys that Buddy Murphy came out looking awesome on the other side.
Yeah, Buddy Murphy looks awesome. This was a great Buddy Murphy match. But it's also one of the best Roman Reigns matches for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you think about those, that feud with Kevin Owens and like all those good matches he was having. Reigns, Owens, Reigns, AJ. Those are really good matches. And then he sort of got
Reigns Strowman.
Yeah. Reigns Strowman was a different kind of match. I wouldn't put that. That was when he started to get gimmicky and you had loads of big angles and even the matches had trucks involved.
And
I'm talking about like in-ring drama without hardcore spots.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Kevin Owens' match actually ended up in a big pile of chairs. But the AJ matches are really good examples of Roman's a damn good wrestler.
Isn't he just?
And this was a really good example of it. We've been down on the commentary a lot this week, this whole SummerSlam weekend, and just in general. But like you just said, I thought they did a really good job of getting over Buddy as well. Because not only were they saying, man, Buddy took him to his limit. And I believed in them saying that.
Yep.
They were also saying throughout the match, he really is the best kept secret.
Yeah, and at the start of this, like, if this is your first time seeing Buddy Murphy wrestle, get ready.
Yeah.
Because he is, like, all three of them, it wasn't just Phillips or Saxton, it was Graves as well, really putting Buddy Murphy over.
Yeah,
and
Graves was very good.
Very good. So the whole match, like this whole segment from start to end, with the exception of him not getting an entrance, was designed to get Buddy Murphy over.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of that, they completely succeeded. Now, if I was to take a cynical look at this, we've seen this a lot with wrestlers over the years, where a segment has been designed to get someone over. Andrade had these matches 2 years ago. And is still at Andrade's level. He has not surpassed anything. In fact, he's probably less used now than he was when he was getting those matches. So I hope this is the start of something big for Buddy Murphy, and he is going into the King of the Ring tournament. So maybe he could do something cool there, but maybe I've just been conditioned by this company to not get my hopes up too much. But in isolation, this was tremendous.
He is a Triple H guy. I don't know if that will help him backstage or hinder him, because a lot of people are Triple H guys, and they've been, you know, like the Revival, I always thought, obviously Triple H guys.
Absolutely,
but also they're a tag team, which Vince just has no time for. So and
just ask your tag champs.
Yeah. So I'm like you, I'm really hoping. But this match was, like you said, so well structured. From the very start, a huge big knee from Buddy early on, and got a two count right off the start. And I thought, that's kind of similar to the Seth Rollins-Brock Lesnar match, where I was into this more from the start, but it's that believability, hook of, Buddy Murphy could just win with a wicked knee. And it's also a bit of, hi, so you wrestle like a WWE main event person?
Here's a knee slap for you.
Indie knee slap. So, I really liked it. There were so many good spots. Buddy did his big dive over the top rope. The Toronto crowd really got into it. It's
absolutely
a perfect audience to do it in front of, because they're a bit more into the 205 Live guys than normal.
There was a lot of back and forth in this as well. And like particularly for Buddy Murphy, like he blocked the spear with knee strikes. And that's where he got the near fall off the brainbuster. He dodged the Superman punch. And really it was, he just made one mistake on the outside, got hit with the Superman punch and the spear, and that's what got him the win. And Roman sold that win like, man,
shaking his head.
I just got that win. And then he's in the corner, like nodding to Buddy Murphy, like, that was really good. As I say in my review that's going to go live shortly after this, Roman won the match, but this was Buddy's night. This was Buddy Murphy's night, and it really, really cemented him on this main roster. And you know what? If this was their plan, if they wanted to wait 4 months, then fine. I don't think it was. I think they just called him up, didn't have a plan, and then just went, and then we got this. But at least it was a good little fart noise.
Yeah.
And I'm happy with that.
So obviously we were very happy with how this match went, how Buddy feels coming off the back of it. But I have seen people say burial of Buddy. So
I think everyone's going to say that because Roman won.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We've also got to say thank you to our wonderful pledge hammers on Patreon, $25 above and more. And if you go over to become a pledge hammer now, you're going to get our Wrestle Ramble extra review of NXT TakeOver Brooklyn.
The very first TakeOver Brooklyn, which features that excellent Sasha Banks Bayley match. And I've been reading The Observer that was released that week, and there are some very interesting little tidbits in that I never knew about the show or some little things around the show. So be a fun one for us to dive into and discuss with the power of hindsight.
Yeah, so you could take out a subscription to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, or you could wait for us
to
record it later this week.
And there's lots of fun clips in there of the shows themselves and the video packages. I love doing Wrestle Ramble Extra. It's so much fun. And there's now 24, there's more than 24. There's nearly 3 years worth of episodes in there that you can listen to. There's plenty of WrestleMania's been reviewed. Loads of SummerSlams have been reviewed. There's so much content in there.
Yeah. So thank you to Quinius the Killer Clown.
Yeah! Shimmy Gang God, Zachary Robert Crowley Barros.
Come on, baby.
Come on.
Boom Boom Cult Sample.
Thanks. Yes.
Duncan. Just Duncan.
Just Duncan.
Oh, yeah.
Butter me up, Soren Nord.
Oh, don't you build me up.
They are only known as hashtag Team LOL.
Team LOL.
There's more of us now.
Robert Spencer. Period.
Yeah. Woo. Ryan Bebad.
Woo, yeah. Shower Lurker, Jacob Bates.
It's not as bad as it sounds.
It's creepy, a psycho reference. It's a Norman Bates reference. King George Phillips.
Yes, King George. Yeah. What a nice guy. Met him many times. Hall of Mania, Patrick Hall.
Whopper.
He who is named Lendell Brenson.
Lendell, yes. Yeah.
Harder than its bite, Sean Barksdale.
It is. Here it comes. It's the weirdest one. Asuka's future husband and EOF one-man wrecking crew, Skin Trade.
Yeah, we know what it means.
Oh, and finally, you'll never get this name right, you idiots. Matthew Zimjewski.
Good effort, mate. Good effort, mate. Good one.
Thank you ever so much, everyone. Let's see what the super chats say. Over with Chopper Pete Cornell. Happy birthday, Chopper Pete Cornell.
The chat has just been almost non-stop of just happy birthday messages. But luckily, we do have some super chats as well. So we're going to start with Jesse Venable, who says, who wins the sweat triple threat? Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar, or Shane McMahon?
Oh, I'd say Bobby Splashley is the sweatiest.
I'd say Bobby's the sweatiest, yeah. And my mind instantly went to Shane, but no, you're right. Bobby is. Like, Bobby just walks to the ring and he's already a mess.
JJ comes in with probably one of the best super chats I think I've ever heard, saying, first super chat, I would just like to say to you, that you guys have trained my African grey parrot. He now says super news, best in the world, and randomly screens Tomo.
Tomo.
Wow.
Is that a shoot parrot or a kayfabe parrot?
I think that's a shoot parrot.
We're teaching shoot parrots things.
Yeah.
Does that mean we can effectively call ourselves teachers now?
What shoot animal trainers? Mm. Parrot whisperers?
I have got good animal handling skills in my D&D character, so it does make sense. It just makes sense.
Will HM said, did anyone else catch Byron Saxton saying, I feel like I've been pinched by happiness and hugged by joy?
I did not, but that sounds like a very Byron Saxton thing to say. I'm assuming that was when New Day came out.
Probably. Ronce Rajan says, I can buy Bray Wyatt being possessed by the Fiend. I can buy The Undertaker having superpowers, but that TV that Kevin Owens broke being $5,000? Come on now.
Hey, maybe it was new technology, smart TV. It wasn't even one of those TVs that looks like a painting on the wall.
No, I don't buy that was $5,000.
Shane's been mugged off there.
Yes.
Like, as if Shane knows how much something costs. It just appears for him.
Yeah. It's like those avocado articles. Yeah. Yeah, that's why kids can't afford to buy houses. Buying avocados that cost £100 each.
Matthew Shields says, thoughts about No Fiend this week. Reports true.
Okay, so let's get into this, because this is part of Pete's news coming up later in Luke's review video, that we were all scared because the YouTube version was edited. Apparently, Brian Alvarez has reached out to people, and they've all said the same thing. No. Fiend's going to continue as Bray's vision intends.
One of the reports I did read was that the video was edited because the severed head wasn't compliant with YouTube guidelines. Mm. And so that's why that got edited off. But the severed head is going to be a big part of his Mattel action figure. So, I mean, that the funniest thing about that, and Pete makes this joke in his news as well. Do you remember the Al Snow controversy in 1999 when they released an Al Snow figure with the mannequin head, and parents groups, the PTC, got that toy pulled from shelves because they said it came with a severed head? This isn't actually coming with a severed head, and it's fine. And remarkably, it's from Mattel. Like, of all companies, it's from Mattel.
2 decades on from that, society has finally accepted severed heads for children.
For children.
The Bray not appearing on TV at all, I do agree that I would have liked something. I would have liked just like a little flash. Like, maybe the episode ends, copyright logo, and then the... All you need is that.
Yeah.
2 second glimpse of the Fiend. I don't think that would overexpose him. I think that would nicely keep the plate spinning. Yeah. But at the same time, I am not against them pacing themselves. One of the best things that's happened in the last month with WWE is how much time they're taking over stuff. And for about a decade of criticizing them for rushing everything, I'm going to give him this one.
Absolutely. No, I'm agree. Like, I would, the worst thing he could have done was have a match on Raw that meant nothing. Like you, I'd have liked a video package or something or a recap of it just to keep it fresh in people's minds. Completely ignoring him, I think, is a wrong move. But certainly I wouldn't have given him a match or anything like that or a Firefly Funhouse follow-up. I think they need to, yeah, kind of pace this a little bit. But a mention would have been nice.
We got one from the Headmaster Jonathan Headman, which you already kind of answered, just said, hello, what is your panic level with no Fiend on? Which you already answered. So we'll go on to Matthew Scheel, who says, everyone has thought of Fiend versus Harper and Braun. What do you guys think of the Fiend against Rowan, though, or possibly Brian?
Definitely Fiend against Brian. Yeah. I've got no interest in Fiend versus Rowan.
Nope.
Save that for The Rock.
Spider Dan Evkovic says, would it be crazy to have the Fiend be the attacker and really push his character? Do we really want Brian to be the actual reveal after this week?
But that wouldn't make sense for the Fiend. That doesn't feel like a Fiend move. To randomly attack someone or drive a car at someone. It doesn't feel like the sort of thing that character
you're
would
right,
do.
You're right. But maybe Bray would. Well, maybe the Fiend wouldn't.
Yeah, like Bray's
like,
Mr. Rogers.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're right. They could make it work, but yeah, I don't think that. I would want to see that. But no. Maybe they can make it work.
Yeah.
And the last one for now before we get on with the full show. Rons Rajan says, Dolph Ziggler, no one sells a spear like me. Buddy, hold my beer.
Oh, yeah. He did the big old, like, big flip. Like, they essentially...
We didn't talk about that. That was great.
They essentially did a Spanish fly.
Yeah.
Because Roman went over with it as well.
That's how all 205 Live guys sell main roster finishes. Because yeah. The Claymore on Cedric, he did a flip over as well.
That's how you get things over.
Yeah.
And actually, there were times on this match where... Well, I feel like we should go back because none of the Super Chats were kind of on the subject. Mm. But I feel that this felt almost indie at times. Like, there was a moment when they were doing the sort of hits and, like, Roman fell backwards and then bounced off the ropes to hit something. I've seen that at Rev Pro shows. So it really did feel like a 205 Live match with Roman Reigns. And that might be one of the reasons why it's got over so big. And, like, to that point, like, Brian Alvarez was raving about it. He said it was the best SmackDown match in years. Sean Ross Sapp absolutely loved it. There were reports from the building that said, like, the place came unglued during that match. And I got a tweet from someone this morning that said it's the best match of the year. But I would say if it's going to be the best match of the year, which I don't think it is, it's certainly the best WWE match. There's a ginormous asterisk next to that because the G1's literally just finished.
Mm. Yeah, it's a short... I mean, we're 8 months into the year now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of matches that have happened. I love this match. I kind of preferred Drew Cedric.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think I preferred this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, if we're just talking WWE matches and we put that to one side, I think even on SmackDown, like you said in your review, I enjoy the Kofi Gauntlet match.
The original one more.
So, but that's not to take anything away from this. It was great.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right, so SmackDown kicked off with Kevin Owens coming out in his home country in front of a Toronto crowd. He got a great reaction.
Superstar reaction, yeah. This was. Absolutely amazing.
So WWE screwed him over all night.
Yeah.
Why sort of make someone look good in their hometown and enhance that stardom?
That's because he's getting the rub from Shane. The reason he's over so much is because he's feuding with the best in the world.
Of course, yeah. Not because he's a great promo and a fantastic wrestler.
No,
and
Shane.
An engaging personality. He said that today marks the 5th anniversary of him signing with WWE. That blew my mind. I was like, a lot. I just feel like it's been a lot longer. Because he's done a lot. Universal champion.
I think it's because he was barely in NXT.
Yeah.
Like, he was in NXT for... what, a handful of months? I think he only did like one or two takeovers and then was up straight to the main roster and feuding with John Cena.
Sammy got injured.
Yeah, he was there for less than a year. Mm. So maybe that's why it feels like it's longer than, because we didn't have a lengthy NXT run alongside it.
Then he went into that he's had many amazing memories. He got to share the ring with people he respects. And I was like, this is losing me a bit. And then he said, and the best thing was my family were at ringside for SummerSlam. And I was like, you're losing me again.
Vince's favourite new thing in the world. He loves it. Like, Vince essentially is that little paperclip from Word. Where it's like, it looks like you're trying to write a babyface promo. Can I be of assistance?
Yeah, because it was all over this show. Like, not just Owens, but loads
Kofi
of
did it as
yeah,
well.
Loads of family references. And I don't, you know, I care about families. Of course I do. but I also don't.
Yeah.
And I want Kevin Owens to just stand there and go, I hate you, Shane McMahon. I kicked your ass. Woohoo. But instead he's like playing this humble stuff. I don't want to see you humble. I want to see you like being a bit cocky. You've got the Brahma bull tattoo. Rock was never humble. Like, you're channeling Stone Cold. When was Stone Cold humble?
Exactly. And it was like all the Kofi stuff leading into Mania stopped being about his 11-year journey and became about, I've got to do this for my kids. I've got to prove to my kids that this can be done. I'm like, no, that's not the interesting bit. The interesting bit is the 11 years.
It's nitpicking, but it is quite, you know, it is frustrating. But then he says he's now setting his sights on the King of the Ring tournament. And then again, he just talks about being a fan of it as a kid. And he just wants to be like Stone Cold and Owen Hart.
He's grateful to be there.
I know. And he's just like, Kevin Owens is a much better promo than send him out there and just say people's names to get nostalgia pops. Because the crowd will cheer Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yay. Bret Hart.
Yay.
Owen Hart. Yay. Like, that's Natalia's job. That's a Natalia promo. Kevin Owens can do something a lot more. But Shane McMahon interrupts. Crowd chants asshole. They got him a good amount of heat.
But I loved this. When the crowd were chanting asshole at him and Shane just stopped, it was like, it's a very rude thing to say about Kevin Owens.
Because
it completely shut the chants down. I thought that was really funny.
To keep nitpicking, because I feel like I was too positive in the opening segment. How much better would this have been if Shane came out with a cup on his balls and he's like hobbling around and he's really selling the injury and like, you know, essentially he got the comeuppance.
Yes.
So he should be, if this happened to Vince, Vince would be in a wheelchair.
Oh yeah.
Bandage over an eye, an elaborate thing around his groin.
Yeah. Absolutely, he would have made a massive, like being pushed out in the wheelchair by Elias, like still in the referee's outfit and something like that. Like they would have made much bigger a deal of it, yeah.
But for some reason, Shane, the only weakness Shane can visually portray is sweat glands.
Yeah, pretty much. If I was to nitpick this as well, which, you know, we're going to have to now because we were so positive in the first half, and we've got our pro AEW agenda to get it across.
Yeah.
Otherwise, not going to get that paycheck. I thought that the fining storyline was lame.
Yeah. Fines don't work in wrestling because it's either... Backstage, I want to know how much everyone earns, but I don't want to know it in story because it's never the right amount.
And the crowd reacted to it like not at all. Because why would you? It's just like, I'm going to fine you $100,000 to make this big thing. The crowd didn't make a single noise because why should I care?
Yeah.
Like, and as I said in my review, it just opens up kayfabe questions. Because Shane said I'm in a management role. So it's like, well, okay, if you've got that power and you hate him so much, take him out of the tournament. Take
suspend
him out of the King of the Ring.
Yeah.
Suspend him. You can do all of these things. When Steve Austin was feuding with Vince McMahon, there was always a storyline reason why Vince wasn't just firing Austin, why he wasn't doing this, that, and the other. He was doing things to punish him, all this. Shane is just like giving him a fine, but he's kept him in a tournament to be crowned King of the Ring. So
For now.
So for me, it just like this whole fining thing didn't work at all, and the crowd didn't react to it.
No, and then Owens, you know, did his best. He tried to sell it, but he went back to the family well,
I've got to provide for my family.
Yeah, he's like, that's not a big amount of money for you, Shane, but for me, that's, I've got kids. That's my kids' university fund. I'm like, look, if WWE are writing a show to appease all sort of sectors, all age groups, like, you are isolating a huge part of people who don't have families and aren't adults. Well, we're adults, but we don't have kids and stuff.
Nope.
So, but I, you know, so I can't properly empathize with this.
And do you think the crowd were really, really cheering for Kevin Owens at SummerSlam because he was, you know, helping his family?
Exactly.
Now he was, people were cheering him and going bonkers in that match. It's because he was beating up Shane McMahon. Not because Shane's rich and Kevin Owens isn't. It's because Kevin Owens is cool and Shane's a dick.
I think the Shane being rich is a part of it. But yeah, I don't want to then think of Owens as not rich. Like, that takes me out of it.
I think it's more, it's Shane's abusing his power.
Mm.
He has been abusing his power for the last few months. It's less to do with the amount of money he earns. It's more about the, I've got a position of power because I'm a McMahon and I've been abusing that.
But the power and the
comes
McMahon
from money.
Comes from money. Yeah. So it is a big part of it, I think, at least. Mm. Anyway, Owens, yeah, I didn't like any of the fine stuff either. Owens goes into Shane's office shortly after this. And Shane threatens to sue him if he puts his hands on him. So KO just throws a stool at a wall, and that made the TV stop working.
Yes. Yeah, it didn't look particularly... He didn't really. Yeah, I wasn't massively into this, and he was just like, make it 105,000. So yes, we're really like, you know, going hard on this.
Yeah. Then we got Charlotte versus Ember Moon. This was, yeah, I haven't really got any notes.
I really like this.
Yeah,
I really, really like this. I mean, granted, the crowd were not into Ember whatsoever, and why would you be? All she does is lose and get beaten up. But I actually thought this was really good. I thought this gave Moon a lot. I think Flair, like Roman in the buddy match, really gave her a lot and tried to make her look as good as possible. Because of the way that Ember's been booked for the last couple of weeks, she doesn't feel like she's on Charlotte's level. But by the end of this, she did feel like she was at least in the ballpark of being on Charlotte's level, even though Charlotte won. My worry of that is that does that just set Charlotte up to face Bayley next? Because I'm frankly not into that at all.
Mm. Well, who else is there, really?
Well, that's it, really, isn't it? Is who else would it be? Because you've taken two of your best wrestlers in Asuka and Kairi Sane and put them in a pointless tag team that's doing nothing.
Plus, we haven't had a blonde person challenge for the women's title for a while. It's making me angsty. Well, and now there's a blue-haired lady challenging on the other brand.
Which sounds a bit like blonde, but it's not blonde enough.
Yeah. I wasn't... Not that I wasn't into this match. It was just a match for me. Hmm. I didn't, you know... Nowhere near the level of Cedric Drew or Buddy Roman.
No, of those three, it's the bottom of those. But I very much enjoyed it.
But yeah, Charlotte won in a figure eight. There we go. Walking backstage. SummerSlam's going to be in Boston next year. And then we've got another Roman Reigns attacker recap.
Yes.
But this time it actually led to a bit of development because it cuts... Brian and Rowan come out on the stage. Brian, surprise, surprise, cuts this excellent promo on the crowd about how Rowan had nothing to do with this and neither did Brian. And he said Buddy Murphy is a liar. He blames Roman for putting Buddy under duress. Mm-hmm. And like anyone would say a name when you're under that amount of pressure. And then, yeah, Brian says he gave the wrong name. The crowd start chanting, "It was you. It was you.
And he just goes, "And that's what's wrong with society today."
Brilliant.
You tell a lie, it gets spread on social media, and then it becomes the truth. And I thought that's a wicked, wicked line. Really, really nice.
You can tell Brian has a lot of control over his promos because his delivery is amazing, of course, but it's always the content that really makes them so good.
Exactly. Makes it feel real world.
Yeah.
Rather than just being like WWE Hall of Famers and you know, corporate buzzwords and stuff like that. Shout out to Rowan as well, who was wearing a Hatebreed t-shirt. I'll always shout out to a band that I recognise, but when I was at university, I was more into the band Hatebeak, who are essentially a parody act of them, but with a parrot as the lead singer.
That's good. The parrot that we talked to.
Well, it's actually funny enough, that's twice a parrot's going to come up in this review. Who'd have thought?
Then we got Shane McMahon backstage telling Not Renee Young that the TV isn't working. Because of Kevin Owens throwing a stool at the wall. And then Samoa Joe just appears
so
there.
So awkwardly staged. Yeah. Because Not Renee came in through the door and asked Shane. But then Samoa Joe walked from the other side as if he'd come in from another door. But there is no door there. So he was just in the room waiting for his moment to step in. Because Shane didn't know he was there. It was... And I hate the way WWE stage things sometimes. Just think about the space you're in.
Yeah. Joe had the gall to say, "I'm a badass."
Yeah.
Which he is, but not when you've just been hiding behind a plant in the corner. And then, that Shane says Samoa Joe's going to face KO later in the night. Mustafa Ali got a little character promo sponsored by Drive Time.
There you go. It was cool. Yep.
Aleister Black backstage. It's got a lot more lighting now back there. And it's the same spiel of him talking about someone needs to knock on his door. But he's saying the word knock differently. Knocker. Knocker.
I think he's trying to get it over so he can get a t-shirt.
Maybe. Knock, knock, knock.
This needs to go somewhere.
Yeah.
More than where it's gone previously. Because he had so much momentum off the Cesaro match at Extreme Rules. And it felt like he's really cooled off since then because they've done nothing to follow up on it. And I don't think him beating Sami Zayn quickly last week is a good enough follow-up. I just feel like this needs to be going somewhere.
Yeah, he needs an actual storyline now. He's had matches, but he needs a bit of a feud, something to sink his character teeth into.
Exactly, because otherwise he's just cutting. He's going to get Bray Wyatt syndrome otherwise, where the promo delivery is good, but you're just saying content that means nothing.
Although... at least it wasn't him cutting a promo from his little coffin thing as he sits up.
You know what? When you're right, you're right. And that is an excellent point, because that was goofy.
After that, we got Buddy Murphy versus Roman Reigns, which we've already covered. It was awesome.
It was great.
And then we got The Revival talking to Kayla backstage, and they blame New Day for ruining tag team wrestling.
Called the 24/7 title a joke, and glad that they lost it quickly.
Yeah. Apparently,
don't want to be cursed with that.
The New Day have never beaten The Revival. That's what they said.
But that makes sense, because... No, The Revival came in and beat them very quickly when they came up from NXT. And then they got injured. And then they've been a Raw act ever since, while New Day have been a SmackDown act. So yeah, that makes sense. They probably haven't had a match since.
That's a good bit of story. You could build something around. I mean, and looking at the main event, maybe they will.
Yeah, I think they will.
There's a 20th anniversary celebration plug for when SmackDown moves to Fox on the 4th of October.
Another nostalgia show.
Yeah. It's going to... have so much storyline momentum like that.
So many legends returning.
Then we got the New Day backstage. Kayla Braxton comes over to them and says, hey, The Revival just said you've been ruining the tag division. And Big E and Xavier do some jokes about how they've ruined loads of other things, but not the tag division. And then Kofi talks about crossing the line.
Yeah, I mean, it just felt like he was given AJ Styles a script from last year. Like, they just took it out from last year and... Can you just read this for us? Like, dust it off. Just replace the name Joe with Randy, and I think we're on our way.
And Wendy with... I can't remember Kofi's
wife's name. And again, it's just they have a template that they just have to stick with. Yeah. They have got 5 scripts, and they just change the names out of them.
So this is where I had a bit of a theory on the laziness of having these male characters talk about fighting for their family.
Okay.
And that is... maybe that's the equivalent of the women's division and their feuds being based around friendships.
Oh, okay, right.
And that there's also sort of an unconscious misogyny there as well. And that, oh, you're a male babyface. You are a provider.
Yes.
And the worst thing that can happen to you is that you can't provide for your family.
Or protect your family.
Yeah, protect your family. It's quite a, you know, it's an age-old story and is very valuable to when it's used, but not when it's overexposed like this. Same with the women's division. Oh, we're friends.
Ooh, we're friends.
So it's using those sort of gender stereotypes in the laziest possible way.
And this is
multiple
lazy.
Times on the same show.
Absolutely, it is lazy. And like, and again, at the end of this show, when Randy is laying out the New Day, that heat was not coming from, oh, he laid out a family man. No, it came from the fact he laid out the New Day who people like.
Yes, I am so much more into Xavier Woods than Kofi's family.
Yeah.
Randy Orton can beat up all of Kofi's kids for all I care.
We've seen him RKO kids time and time again. He RKs his own kids all the time.
Then we got Kevin Owens versus Samoa Joe. But of course, Elias is made the special guest referee. Now, they did cover why this wasn't for the 24/7 title. Earlier, Shane had said that he's given Elias the night off after what Kevin Owens did to him at SummerSlam. Which is funny,
yep.
Because Elias was also on Raw, won the 24/7 title.
Yeah.
And Shane said, the 24/7 title isn't on the line tonight.
Yes. So that was good. And he got involved straight away. Went to an ad break. Joe was back with the neck crank. The ad break neck crank.
Not the Fiend neck crank.
No.
Imagine if he came back from an ad break like that.
For the neck
Holy
crack.
Moly.
Holy hell. Killed him. Owens made a comeback, hit the pop-up powerbomb. Elias pulled the referee out, and then he got in the ring while Joe rolled him up and gave a very, very fast count.
Yeah, and then Kevin Owens looked angry.
Yeah.
I bet that must feel great for Samoa Joe.
Vindication! My favourite thing about this was, actually, and I've been burying, I mean, with the pair of us, I've been burying Corey quite a lot because he's becoming quite annoying lately. But I did like Corey Graves saying, like, you know what, Elias isn't a full-time official. His cadence might be a little off.
That's a good line. And Owens just walked off very angry. I just don't know why you can't have him stand tall over Shane again in Toronto. Well, he'll get a huge reaction.
Because you've got to wait till Survivor Series when it's going to be Team Owens versus Team Shane.
Mm. He's still flogging that horse.
Well, why else are they continuing this goddamn storyline? He won. Mm. Why continue it?
After this was actually... No, the Buddy Roman match was my favourite, but... this is tied into that storyline. This is my favourite segment of the week, actually. Can't think of what else happened on Raw. Yeah, more than the Sasha Banks heel turn. Because that had a lot of things, a lot of niggles. It was very fun as a superficial turn
yeah.
and return. But this had a lot of depth and mirror image stuff with other parts of the story. I thought it was excellent. So Daniel Bryan and Rowan go into the locker room exactly the same way as Roman did last week and said, everyone clear out, like almost the same verbiage. And he said, not you, buddy, because they want to have a chat with him. And Bryan is just getting all in his face,
right up in his face.
You lied. You've ruined Rowan's reputation. You've ruined my reputation. And then he says, say that you lied, admit. And he won't. So Rowan starts beating him up, and it's a brutal beatdown that Buddy sells fantastically, throwing over a table.
Yeah, he was taking them bumps.
And then Rowan pins him up against the wall, and Bryan says again, you know, admit it. And he goes, I lied. And then Bryan just says, I hate liars. And Rowan throws him away. It was just for Bryan to use those tactics that he'd just condemned, and it'd be such a lovely mirror image from last week's segment. Mm. And how Buddy Murphy is still caught in the middle of all this.
But Bryan didn't use those tactics. Rowan used those tactics,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Bryan was just happened to be there with him. It's one of those like brilliantly justifiable heel things to do. Being like, hey, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Rowan did that.
Yeah, it had a lot of elements of sort of a crime family.
Yeah. Oh,
and
totally.
And Bryan
is the
mob boss.
Just your big muscle that's going around throwing this guy around where you're like, all you need to do is tell the truth.
I loved it. I thought it was very, very good.
It was really cool.
And then it cuts backstage to Roman walking with purpose. I'm like, so something's going to fall on him, right?
Kayla wasn't there going, yeah. Roman!
Over here, Roman. Hit a big dog. Woof, woof, woof. Then we got a King of the Ring video package. And then we got the New Day versus the Revival. But then Randy Orton comes out and says, why don't we make this a good old-fashioned six-man?
Yeah, he calls Kofi a coward because he ran away from their fight at SummerSlam.
Which, you know, like, of all the uses of family, when Randy said, you ran away from a fight in front of your wife and kids, that was a good line. That got a pop from the crowd. I thought that was emotionally affecting.
I preferred the use of the term, you couldn't beat me 11 years ago, you still can't beat me now.
That's good.
I think that's, again, for me, that's so much more effective than the family stuff.
Yeah. It's made a six-man go to break, come back, Revival get a jobber entrance. They're already in the ring.
Yep.
And then, this is like a pretty good six-man. Not like the crazy good six-mans that WWE put on.
It was mostly just the heels working over Xavier Woods. And then they get the hot tag. Kofi runs wild for a little bit. And like he did a big dive and things like that. But then Woods got hit with the Shadow Machine. I thought it was a fun, chaotic final few minutes. But it was a lot of beatdown. And when I was watching this, I was like, I bet Vince just rewrote this script again. And they were like, well, we've got half an hour free. Go out there and have a long match.
I liked it because of the way Xavier sold the arm.
Yeah.
So Xavier's arm was worked over when he was getting isolated in the ring. And then when he makes a comeback after Big E's hot tag, he is doing these strikes with one arm.
Yes.
And like one arm's flailing by the side. So and that, like, that makes him look so much better when he gets pinned by the Shadow Machine. He's protected somewhat.
No, selling's for dogs. Just ask Seth
Rollins. Yeah. The Revival pinned the tag champs. So that surely sets up a title feud.
Yeah, it's got to, right?
And then Kofi, that they're like, of course, the Revival are beating them down more, and Kofi saves Xavier, but then Orton hits an RKO on Kofi.
Yep.
And then Xavier, and then Big E, and then Kofi again.
Yeah. My favorite part of this was the Revival picking up Big E for the RKO, being like, yeah, get him, Randy. Yeah, we're on your side. We're buddies, right? Mm-hmm. I was half expecting Randy to RKO them as well, be like, who are you again?
Yeah. I thought this was great.
I thought it was really cool.
And this is really what the go-home segment should have been for SummerSlam.
I said this in my review. It's like, this was better than all of the build leading into SummerSlam. And it has added some much-needed heat into this feud. Mm. Like, it's about time. Yeah, and I think now leading into Clash of Champions, let's just hope that we can build from this as opposed to now spending the next few weeks just doing promos on each other.
Because the visual of Randy standing over these three carcasses, it was such a really made the New Day feel in jeopardy, and Randy does have their number. But yeah. Then we got the second best backstage segment of the week, which was just such a soap opera ending. Bryan and Rowan are just sitting down. This is after the match, you know, we've still got a minute left, so it cuts backstage. Bryan and Rowan are sitting down. They stand up and Roman walks in. This is all one soap opera-y wooden shot.
Yeah.
And Bryan wants an apology. Rain just stands there, looks like he's going to get tough guy. But then Brian goes, whoa. We found out the culprit.
We've been doing an investigation of our own.
Yeah, fashion police. Mm. And we'll reveal it next week.
Doom, 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 doom.
All that was missing was that and them all looking off in the distance. I loved
yeah,
it.
Totally. It was, yeah, good little cliffhanger into next week.
New Japan do in-ring strong style wrestling amazingly, and they're the best at it. AEW, I'm sure, will do that indie style with a lot of comedy and campiness, but also some very emotional stories tied in very well. That's going to be their selling point. WWE need to double down on sports entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a great example of that. Just soap opera-y, cliffhanger-y endings.
And it's going to be Brian, right? It's going to reveal it to be him. It wasn't Rowan, it was me.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. But it he's was already me all said along. It wasn't him.
Yeah, but he hates liars. Mm. And again, it's that more hypocritical side of him that he lied, even though he hates liars.
I hope that isn't what happens, because I think for Brian to then say, it was me, I'm like, ah, well, I got a week out of this. I think he should set up someone else. And then
it reveals that
a bit later.
Yeah, it was a false investigation. Yeah. And actually, that also ties into the hypocrisy of him blaming Buddy Murphy for, quote unquote, incorrectly pointing the finger at them, because he's pointing the finger at someone else as a misdirect. As much as we can add some hypocrisy onto Daniel Bryan here, it just helps his heel character.
Definitely. Overall, I thought this episode of SmackDown was very, very good.
Yeah, very much enjoyed it.
Easy,
I gave it 4 out of 5. I gave it a high Smacktastic. Mm. That's because I really enjoyed the in-ring work.
It's just, great in-ring work and solid storytelling.
Yep.
Characters are getting time to shine. There was stuff wrong with it, sure, but overall, very enjoyable. What a pleasure to watch WWE at the moment.
It's, do you know what? Competition brings out the best in people. They've been complacent now for 15 or so, nearly 20 years. And now they're like, actually, our ratings are down, our attendance is down, our merchandise is down, our network subscribers are down. And there's this new player coming into town that's got a very big TV deal and it's got a lot of buzz. It has had more tickets appeal than any of our WrestleManias have ever had. We need to do something.
And it's a great strategy because I've only got so much excitement in me, and I'm very excited about AEW. But if WWE wasn't the quality it is at the moment, that's all I would be thinking about. But I'm thinking about The Fiend.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about Bryan.
Yep.
I'm thinking about Buddy Murphy and Cedric Alexander and Drew and the King of the Ring and Sasha Banks' return. They're doing a lot of stuff that I'm interested in. And yeah, I don't find myself thinking about AEW as much.
It's what happens when you've got good competition.
Yeah. Well, let's see what you guys thought on the super chats. Happy birthday, Pete.
It's still going in the chat, by the way. It's not constant, but it's maybe every one in every 15 or 20 messages will be a happy birthday. So thanks for that. So let's get on with the rest of them. First one, we've got some Supreme Vivekananda. Sorry if I butchered that name. Thank you so much for all the content and great work that you do. You've really brought back my love for pro wrestling. Lots of love from Australia.
Ah, Swaftunda.
Swaftunda. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Tim Arndt comes in and says, didn't like Rowan's shirt. Not a fan of Hatebreed.
I mean, I'm not a fan of them either, in all fairness.
I don't know who they are.
No, my housemate was massively into them, but he was into a lot of those real death metal bands, which I think are noise.
Danny W. says, and people say Roman can't have good matches. I'm so happy they let Murphy get so many near falls, and Roman gave him the nod after the match.
I think we have been a channel. I mean, certainly since I started working here, and you were as well, but always been big supporters of Roman, and always said he's an excellent, excellent wrestler.
Yeah, it was just the babyface pushing of him at the time that was wrong.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Rex Joseph Calmerin says, Roman gave a lot for Murphy. All hail King Corbin.
Even his Twitter game's all on this. I mean, I only know because someone sent it to me on Discord, because he blocked me on Twitter, so I haven't seen him do it himself. But he is on his King Corbin train at the moment.
Jobba JJ says, WWE using The Fiend like WCW used Sting in 1997.
Well, in terms of going missing for large periods.
Sort of, but Sting was still mentioned in storylines. Mm. And he was featured on the show, it's just that he wasn't wrestling.
Yeah, whereas The Fiend was completely ignored.
Completely missed, yeah.
We've got a double super chat from Graham Scrivener, who wants me to say, he who thinks Australian wrestles Australian, and then clarifies later that that's from a Castle Main advert, which I guess he's adapted for Buddy Murphy. So,
okay,
thanks, Graham.
Cheers.
Nick Ward says, "Hi, boys from Australia." Another one.
Swafter.
Swafter.
Long-time listener, first-time super chatter. Just want to say, Buddy Murphy is awesome.
He is so, yeah. So good.
I mean, but you would say that, wouldn't you? You Australian.
Jack Benner says, "Imagine if Luke Harper is Roman's attacker."
I don't think that would work.
No.
Really?
No.
I love Luke Harper. I want to see him back on TV, but
can't do a
that would
accent.
Be quite anticlimactic, I think.
Abram Penner says, "Patience truly is a virtue. Wrestling on WWE again."
Yeah, good wrestling this week. And good wrestling at SummerSlam as well. Like, those three shows back to back. You know, we said this at the time. It was better than NXT.
Enjoyed it more, yeah.
I enjoyed it more than NXT. All three shows I enjoyed more than TakeOver.
Marcus Roman says, all in capitals, "Too late, Chopper." And he typoed happy birthday and put howoopy birthday.
Well, howoopy birthday to you.
Yeah. Mr. Doback says, "Not the cheap sellout, Randy." No, it's me, actually, but close enough. Javier Reyes for us, I says, "Buddy Murphy should win King of the Ring."
I mean, yeah, I could be on board with him winning King of the Ring. There are a few. I was thinking about this. Andrade's not in the King of the Ring tournament.
Is he not?
No.
I just assumed he was.
That's because, yeah, no, you've got to make room for
Ray.
Apollo Crews and Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah. Well, there's so many people who could win that would be worthy winners.
Totally. Corbin. Ricochet, let's be honest. King Ricochet. Mm. Just makes sense.
Excuse me, sorry. Pavi, Luke's number one fan.
Cheers,
there's
mate.
Competition, actually, for
How
Luke's number one
fans
fan.
How many fans do you have?
Although, I think there's at least three.
Lofty.
In total.
Yes, yeah, of course.
It says, "Chopper of the morning to you lads. Also, can you guys have Chopper's face on an actual chopper as a thumbnail?" And then says, "You guys are overexposing Pete Boo," which is, I feel, contradictory, but, you know, one of the two. Anyway, Samad Ali says, "Hey, you awesome people. Just wanted to say I'm going to New Japan Royal Quest. I saw the match card and it looks awesome. Also, happy birthday, Chopper."
Yeah. We will see you there. We'll arrange some meetup or something because our office, where we are right now, is literally 2 minutes walk from the venue.
It's over that way.
Yeah.
GoSoup12 says, "Chop of the morning from New York. Apparently Riddle and Goldberg shot an angle at SummerSlam. When, if ever, will this play out? P.S. Happy birthday, Chopper Pete."
I don't know if they shot an angle, but Matt Riddle talked about the fact that they did see each other for the first time and Goldberg was not happy with the comments that he made. But I don't know if they shot it as an angle.
I've heard nothing.
He
like
just
that.
Mentioned it on whatever their watch along thing is called.
Yeah.
I think it is called Watch Along.
Oh, cool.
Also, I did say happy birthday, Chopper Pete. It actually says happy Chop Day, Bertha Pete.
Nice. Let's
clarify that one. Austin Baker says, "Happy birthday to Short Snacks, aka Chopper."
Nice.
Thanks, still not my birthday. Metal Gamely said, "Heard Brian Alvarez enjoyed this episode. Don't hear that too often nowadays. Anyways, love from Finland, my favorite wrestling news channel."
Ah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Dustin S. Gooding said, "Lovely time with the boys. Hashtag happy Chop Day. Love you all." Thank you. Craig Brown said, "Did you guys like my Bailey Sting character I created on WWE 2K19? I tweeted you the picture."
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, this obviously is no slight against you, but we get sent so many Bailey Stings on 2K20 that I lose track of which ones I've seen and which ones I haven't.
Yeah, I've got a filter now where my Google Chrome browser will just blur anything like that
yeah.
that looks like Bailey Sting.
Absolutely, yeah, but I'm sure it was awesome.
Yeah.
Hell Lord 247 says, "You guys think maybe Shayna Baszler maybe never drops the title and just vacates it when she's called up?"
Well, like Asuka did, I suppose, yeah. It's not the worst idea in the world. Yeah. I mean, actually, no, I'm going to say it's a terrible idea because that really didn't help Ember Moon anything, Asuka dropping the title. And you know, hindsight 2020, Ember should have beaten Asuka in NXT.
Yeah, especially if Asuka was going to just lose to Charlotte. Yeah.
Exactly.
Taizy Vegemite says, "Will Buddy stay heel? Slight babyface vibe tonight."
I thought that as well. I thought it was a very much like quite babyface by the end of it. And then him being beaten up by the heels in the locker room was almost like a babyface moment too.
Yeah, he just needs to be an angry guy, an angry babyface guy.
Hmm.
But like he can also put his feet on the ropes to win sometimes. I don't think he's got such an intensity where even if he is a heel, he will get cheered like a babyface. So just make him a tweener.
Yeah.
Ralph Marion says, "The Fiend versus Pennywise, who wins?"
Pennywise.
Well, I was going to say Pennywise is an actual, I mean, it's an alien. So yeah, probably Pennywise.
That would be quite the matchup. Ron's Regen, as I've now been corrected, it's not Regen, it's Regen, says, Buddy's burial has more to do with him being beaten backstage twice and during his cruise match.
No.
So the people who were saying that Buddy was buried.
No, I disagree. That's a storyline point. And I know that, you know, that there's the mentality of, oh, but they got the rub. And usually that's way off base. But this is actually a rare example where him getting beaten up by these guys and being involved in this storyline, I think, especially the way they treated him in this match, is giving him the rub.
It's being involved in the company's biggest storyline. And this is, by leaps and bounds, the biggest thing in WWE at the moment.
And he doesn't look like a chump.
No, he really doesn't.
Dave H says, happy birthday to me. Hello, Luke, Ollie, Chopper, and Tomo. We all know Heyman has creative input on Raw. Do you guys think Heyman is having input on SmackDown?
But I mean, I haven't heard anything in the Observer or anywhere else. Like PW Insider, I haven't said as much either.
It just feels that way, doesn't it? Because they both have a similar slower pace, more wrestling, more thought gone into stuff. I mean, maybe it's Vince.
I think yeah. I mean,
there's all the reports that he's rewriting the shows.
Yeah, it's most likely Vince.
Also, happy birthday if it is in fact your birthday, Dave H. Happy birthday.
And yeah. Pete would know about lying about birthdays.
Still have never done that. Heel Dan from Pensacola, Florida says, you guys totally didn't notice my new name, Heel Dan from Pensacola. That's right, I came back real as in heel. Cool. Fluefall 12 says, Bailey versus Sonya versus Morgan for the women's title, please.
Bailey versus Sonya versus Morgan.
Versus Liv Morgan versus, did he say Deville in there as well?
Sonya Deville and Bailey, yeah, in a triple threat.
A triple threat, okay.
Yeah.
That screams to me when NXT have booked their champion too strongly, so they put them in a triple threat, and it's just a bit of a filler match on a takeover.
Yeah, that does, at this current moment in time, screams filler.
Ginger comes in and says, YouTube guidelines, wrestling's biggest heel.
Yeah. It's true. Tell me about it.
Game Fanatic said, isn't it obvious? Shane will take KO's place in King of the Ring, and the final will be Miz versus Shane. It's just another title for Shane.
Oh, God. If Miz gets to the final of King of the Ring.
That's not the worst story.
With all of those people in there, yes, it is.
But if Shane screws them all over...
We want to start that Miz-Shane feud again.
It's for Miz to beat Shane in the final. Yeah, I don't want to see it. But there is a story there.
Yeah.
Ed and Ol says, Buddy versus Brian has to happen. That would be match of the year if given time.
In WWE. As a caveat.
Buddy versus Brian.
If
that... All I'm
saying is, the quality of wrestling this year, but like in the G1 alone... I was like, that could fill out the top 10 matches of this year.
You're right.
Just saying that the quality is very high.
I got ahead of myself.
Yeah.
Judas Black says, best match? Of course not. Roman was in it.
I think that's unfair.
He was very good.
Yeah, he was awesome in that match.
He was at half of this very good match.
Tizzy Vegemite's back again to say, will we get any Bray in-ring segments? Or will he stick with pre-taped Firefly Funhouse segments with only the Fiend showing up in the ring?
That's my hope.
Yeah, because when he's just in the ring, it can't be as controlled and you can't have all those excellent little cuts.
And sound effects and stuff, yeah.
If he does it in the ring, I'd be worried that Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon will start to try and recreate some of those effects live, like the crappy lightning bolts that hit the ring posts for The Undertaker, which is always rubbish.
Yeah.
Tiny Vegemite's back again to say, what should the prize be for winning King of the Ring?
Title shot.
Universal title shot, yeah.
Or a WWE championship, yeah.
Vegemite
is Australian.
Is also Australian.
I think he's from Down Under.
One of the other. So many Aussies.
Dave H is back to say Ricochet versus Buddy Murphy would be G1 quality.
Yeah.
Could be.
Best of the Super Juniors quality. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Vegemite, I learned from the song Down Under by Men at Work, which made him a Vegemite sandwich.
Casey Swakovsky said, whatever happened to Lars? Also, happy birthday, Pete. Still not my birthday.
Lars is injured.
Yeah.
And apparently, according to Meltzer, he's injured for quite some time. He's had a complete knee reconstruction surgery, so he's going to be out for a while. Good job with Lucha House Party beat him.
Tomo comes in.
Tomo!
Said, hello, people from the WrestleTalk system. Sadly, I can no longer watch the rest of the stream as this message is being typed out. My illness is getting to be goodbye good night, everybody.
Oh, mate.
Oh, well, yeah.
If you watch this on catch up, mate, best of luck to you.
Yeah, feel better.
We're pulling for you, Tomo.
Vandalia 1998 says, was Billy Gunn and Wade Barrett the only two King of the Rings that did nothing for their career, or were there others that never went anywhere after it as well?
Ken Shamrock, Viscera, yeah.
There's so many. King of the Ring, although it's beloved, is actually pretty crappy.
Oh, yeah. William Regal's another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sheamus, I think, as well.
Sheamus. He just got labeled with the King Sheamus gimmick that did nothing for awful, him. Yeah. Really, it is just Austin, Bret, and Triple H. But like it wasn't the King of the Ring that catapulted Triple H into stardom, and it wasn't the King of the Ring that catapulted Austin into stardom. He cut that promo, but it wasn't until 2 years later that he won the title.
Kurt and Brock as well. All these people.
Kurt is one, because Kurt won it in 2000 and won the title like a couple of months later.
They were already on their way though.
Oh, that's yeah. You're absolutely right. They were already going to win the title in a couple of months anyway. Just the King of the Ring just happened to be there. Actually, Edge is another one.
Oh, Edge is a good one, yeah.
Yeah, Edge won it in 2001, but like, you know, didn't win the titles until 2004 and 5 or whatever it was.
Tozy Vegemite's back to say, who gets called up first, Shayna or Undisputed Era?
I think Shayna at this rate.
Yeah, maybe Shayna. I'm not sure, to be honest. But we've had so many this year, I'm done for NXT call-ups for now.
Edinol comes in to say, remember when you could get DQ'd after the match?
No.
No.
Nor do I. Zach Econ Lindner says, Murphy and Roman could be WWE's Okada versus Omega.
Ooh. I mean, I'm glad you enjoyed this match.
Holly thought it was the second best match on TV this week.
Yes.
Like, let alone calling it the greatest feud of the last 20 years.
Deep In says, plot twist, some way down the line, Aleister Black is the one knocking on the door of the Firefly Funhouse.
So he would have to knock.
Yeah.
But he wants people to knock on him.
I saw someone really reaching today where there was a wrinkle in the backdrop for the cupboard that Aleister Black is in. So it was like, it's the Fiend's mask.
Ooh.
And I'm like, that's a bit of a reach, that, mate.
Well, I think that's confirmed. There was that great super chat we had on SummerSlam where you've got a Hell in a Cell match. The Fiend's outside saying, let me in. And Aleister Black's in the ring saying, just knock.
Just knock.
Vincent Millage says, Roman should have saved Buddy from those hippies. I'm assuming he's referring to the Planeteers.
Mm. I mean, maybe that is going to build to something like this with Roman and Buddy teaming up against Rowan and Brian. I wouldn't be against that at all.
Roman, Joe, and Buddy. But I suppose, has the Joe thing just been dropped now?
I think Joe's been dropped, yeah.
Oh, man, that's a shame.
Elizabeth Williams says, happy, happy, joy, joy, Chopper Pete.
Happy, thanks. Happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy.
Tyler Bailey says, that match was stellar, but will this hurt or help Murphy? Well, I think you've talked about that enough on the episode so
I'm hoping
far.
It helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ron's Regen is back again to say, am I wrong for wanting an Autumn Revival faction?
I just feel like it's a bit too lumped together.
Yeah, it's too mid-card of evil.
Brandon Klug comes in, who did a super chat and then a message which weren't connected, and then he's done another super chat with the message attached, which you didn't need to do because I was going to read your message anyway. But you've got your message anyways. It says, hey guys, this is my first super chat. Well, technically your second now.
He's figuring it out. It's quite obviously your first super chat.
Yes. I love your content, and you guys make me love wrestling more. Love Buddy Murphy as well, representing Australia.
Hey,
another more. Aussie.
Well, we love you too, dude.
Thank you very much.
Telling you, man, Australia's definitely got to be the next place. Because as you said yesterday, there's only 30 of them there anyway.
Yeah.
We could probably sell tickets to all 30 of them.
We're the kings of Australia.
Devante Lee says, this is the first time in a long time that WWE has me thinking, man, I can't wait to see what's going to happen next week.
Right. Yeah, no,
yeah,
I'm in agreement.
Great.
Yeah.
Gabriel Reyes says, Andrade is in the King of the Ring tourney. Yes, he is.
Is he?
You said he wasn't.
Is he in the tournament?
Pretty sure he is.
This is why this company needs to actually list who's in the goddamn thing when they do a video package for it. I didn't think he was in it.
I thought I saw a tweet from Zelina Vega saying, soon to be King, El Rey, Andrade, La Reina, Zelina, or something like that.
Oh, in which case, I mean, I'm happy to be wrong, and I'm happy that he is in it.
Thought he was, anyway.
Andrade is
in. Perfect.
And he's also a SmackDown star.
Yeah, he got moved back to SmackDown, didn't he? Like the week after the Superstar Shake-Up.
His Raw feud with Rey Mysterio.
In which case, I completely stand corrected on that. But I do think that's more on WWE than it is on me. Like, just showing one-second clips of people. Have profiles of them.
New Tops 4 said, hey, back again. Thoughts on No Bray Wyatt on either show this week, which we've talked about already. Jobber JJ, Ollie Davis' number one fan, says, Ollie only needs one fan. Will The Fiend wrestle only on pay-per-view?
It wouldn't be the worst idea.
I think that's a great idea, yeah.
At least initially, and then occasionally you have a TV match after the first 6 months.
My wife wanted to see The Fiend entrance last night. She was like, can you show it to me? Because you and I were talking about it. I think you and I built it up too much on the podcast. Because at the end of it, she was like, yeah, it's cool. But again, and she said the same thing about Ronda Rousey's debut. She's like, it's good and everything, but WWE's production is horrendous. Those are her words. Oh. She hates the way that the shows are filmed.
Oh, but Bray's one was perfect, I think.
Well, yeah, she said that there's times where it looked like they couldn't find him because it was so dark, because the camera will focus on him and then like shoot upwards, which I think is by design, but it really annoyed her.
New Tops 4's back in to say, can we also get a Luke singing Prince Ali music video about Ali?
Hey, and he wasn't on this show, this week's show, so I didn't
get a video package.
Well, yeah, but that didn't count. I'm not writing 4 songs. Also, I think that's starting to annoy people now, so I might have to put a stop to that for a bit. Bless you.
Bless you. Steve Winyard says, rank these. The Fiend debut, Buddy's match, Seth's match, or Sasha's return?
Fiend, Buddy, Sasha, Seth.
Boom.
Tanner Starika says, leave it to WWE to already want to ruin their best gimmick in history. That's not true if you watch my news later on today.
Yeah, should be okay.
If they ruin Bray in any way, they deserve to fail, which I don't think they're going
to
do.
I was listening to The Fiend's theme today, the one done by Code Orange. Fiend's theme, because they've loaded that to their YouTube channel now. I listened to it 5 times in a row. Literally, as soon as it finished, I just pressed replay and listened to it again. Mm. And all I could think about was at WrestleMania, when you got 80 to 100,000 people all doing the hurt, heal chant along with it. And it gave me goosebumps just thinking about it. Yeah. And so, but, you know, I said that I can't wait to see Bobby Roode's entrance at WrestleMania either. And, you know, look where we are now.
Ed comes in to say, Luke Harper, the guy who attacked Roman Reigns, which is already something that someone else has suggested. Dave H comes in to clarify, it's not my birthday, Pete, just what Ollie asked. So thanks for that. NC Lauder says, I have to sing happy birthday to me, apparently, according to this super chat. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to Chopper. Happy birthday to me. It's still not my birthday, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Happy birthday, Chopper.
Thanks, man. Josh Locke says, King of the Ring to culminate at Super Arabia 2.
If anything, I'd like to think it's going to culminate at Clash of Champions.
Crown Prince of the Ring.
Yeah.
Won by Mansoor.
Super Arabia's a bit too far away, because that's on October 31st. Lord Zeus says, would love to see Buddy take the IC title and then face off with AJ at Survivor Series. Thoughts?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as fun as it would have to be AJ versus Nakamura again, I'd much rather it be AJ Buddy Murphy. That's just a reminder that the Nakamura is the IC champion.
That's assuming it's still going to be Raw versus SmackDown this year.
Which I don't think it is.
No. Devante Lee says, Black should have been in the tournament and won, but God forbid WWE create a new star.
Well, I mean, the whole tournament's hopefully designed to build a new star. And there are, you know, there are 16 guys in there where all have the potential, maybe not Shelton Benjamin, to be like the next big thing. So, yeah, I mean, they are going to create a star out of it. It's just Black's not there.
Triveshgar Purai says, if it's sports-centric, WWE refs need VAR.
Yeah, well, they've tried this before, haven't they? They bring it up when they need it for a storyline purpose, but it just highlights when they don't do it.
Yeah, so much of wrestling heat is behind the referee's back and whatnot, and you would have to sacrifice that.
Also, no one likes VAR in football, by all accounts, so why put it in wrestling?
Fiery Ember says, Ember needs to be booked better.
True.
Sean Cartier says, really hope sponsors aren't going to ruin The Fiend.
If there's one person who can, it'll be the sponsors. The sponsors will be the one to kill it.
TJ Ridgeway says, who's had the best 205 call-up, Buddy, Ali, or Cedric?
Initially Ali, because he was in that mix with Daniel Bryan, and that was a really exciting last couple of months of 2018. So at the moment, I'd say him.
I'm going to say Ali as well, for those exact same reasons. He had something to do as soon as he got there, as opposed to Cedric and Buddy, who came up and did nothing for 4 months. Also, Cedric had the dumbest ending to Raw in 2019, possibly ever. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Ali.
And finally, thank you to Jivanshu Dua, who donated with no message.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's have a look through. So I've got a lot of like general emails and stuff.
Don't wanna ask me what I did last night.
What did you do last night?
I went to a quiz.
What kind of quiz?
It was just a new place has opened up near us, and it was just an outdoor pub quiz.
Hmm.
I think they thought it was going to be warmer. It actually got quite nippy. Anyway, it wasn't the best quiz. Like, it was all a bit haphazard. The questions weren't resonating with me. It was both too easy and too hard at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were a couple of questions that were so easy, and I'm like, oh, well, we obviously know this one. And then he suddenly gives multiple choice. I'm like, well, now even the stupid people know what it is. And then he'll do a really hard, obscure one. And we're like, okay, so where's the multiple choice? But nothing.
Nothing.
Anyway, we came about 6th out of 15, I think.
That's not bad.
Solid mid-table.
Yeah.
But we came down to the final two for best team name.
What was your team name? Did you go with Gary Lineker's Left Wing Thought Police?
No. Which is infamously said by Ian McKellen.
Still to this day, my favourite quiz team name I've ever heard.
Danny Dyer's Chocolate Homunculus is always the other one. But there were three different teams called Quiztina Aguilera.
Oh, yeah. Let's get quizzical.
Someone said, oh, wow, what a funny name. And I was like, what are you talking about? That's the most basic quiz name that people think is a clever pun.
See, I'd always go with the Spanish Inquisition is the most common one I hear.
That's pretty good. Well, I went hard. And it came down to like Mr. Dribble's puppy team. A team so named because they literally brought their dog to the quiz with them and it was cute. And that got a lot of people cheering for them.
Mm-hmm.
Against Ollie's team name, Schindler's Quiz.
Ooh.
Which got a sharp intake of breath when it was first read out. But one guy pissed himself laughing. I was like, you're my guy. You're my friend. But yeah, we got down
was
to the final
guy,
two.
Yeah,
it was my mate. It was Anna. We got down to the final two of best team names. And I think the people who were against it cheered a lot harder. And they had a cute dog. They had a prop.
Mm.
And they won.
You didn't bring your list.
But it was a crap name.
Mm.
Like, it was a crap name for a team.
Yeah, it's not great, is it? Mr. Dribble. It's a bit cutesy.
Anyway, so there you go. That was my Tuesday night. Thanks for asking.
You're very welcome. Did I ever tell you about the quiz I did at a food fair in Tunbridge Wells?
No.
Well, this was quite recently. This is in the last couple of months. It was literally as I got my head shaved. So to give you some perspective of time frame.
Mm.
And they had a sort of fate quiz there. And if you ever want to have sort of like a, I wonder what Tunbridge Wells is like. Well, their quiz was strawberry or not, where they would read out names and you have to write down whether it's a strawberry or not. And I'll be honest, we just had to guess.
What, like different names of types of strawberry?
Yes.
Can you remember any?
Absolutely.
I just know strawberry.
Well, no. Well, that,
usually,
that,
that's what English strawberry.
That's what we said. And in the end, we just were like, I don't know, write strawberry, write not strawberry.
Yeah.
But here's the other side of the quiz. Everyone got a prize. Because what they had was just like a load of prizes, and then they would just read out in order the amount of people who got the most points. People were taking this dead seriously, by the way, so a lot of people sort of debating amongst themselves whether or not something was a strawberry or not. Me and my friends were like, I'm a Scooby-Doo. But yeah, they just had this big prize pool, and then they were just like, and with X amount of points, this team, it would be like, Luke and blah, 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 and then we'd go up and we get our prize. My wife and I.
So you just got to choose yours from a table.
And if you were at the lowest point, you got the crapper prizes left. We got a pot of olives and a great plate.
A great plate?
No, not a great plate, a plate that's great. A plate that's got grating components on it. It's a great plate.
Like a cheese grater,
mm-hmm.
but in the shape of a plate.
No, so it's a plate, but it's got the cheese grater bit in the center of said plate.
That just sounds dangerous.
Well, it was wrapped in bubble wrap. Mm. And it's still in bubble wrap. Pop but the idea is that you can then sort of like grate garlic with it, or like, you know, you just put a lime down on it and switch it around. I don't really know what it's for. My wife seems to know, but it hasn't been used yet.
Yeah. Maybe that's a new feature. Different kinds of plates. Is it a great plate, or is it a bad plate? Whopper! Smash it anyway.
Well, I did say we've got loads of emails that we wanted to get through, but we've actually now got no time. But
we could do one email.
We could do one email.
I won't do iTunes today.
Okay.
Because I'm the one who cut the podcast short. Although the last iTunes review was on the 8th of August, which is about 6 days ago now.
Yes.
So come on.
You say it's about 6 days ago. It's literally 6 days ago.
It's literally 6 days ago.
Yeah.
And that makes me sad.
Well, we did have this email come in from Dave, which I thought was pretty adorable, really. And it was called a bracket, not so, close bracket, concerned Firefly Funhouse parent.
Ooh, the so, fiend debate.
It says, hi, Luke and the guys. I'm at work now, listening to the podcast from SummerSlam and the Raw review, and was dying to see how you all felt about the Fiend and possibly the coolest entrance I've ever seen.
Yes.
No surprise at all, you guys seem to have loved it as much as me. As I mentioned in a previous email, I'm a father of 4, 10-year-old stepdaughter, 19-year-old twin boys, and a 1-month-old daughter. During the review, I know you guys mentioned there was a possibility that they pulled the Fiend segment due to parents being worried about the kids' reaction. God, I hope that's not the case. My twin boys, Johnny and Mikey, loved the Fiend's debut.
It's because twins are inherently creepy anyway.
The Firefly, they watched the Firefly Funhouse promos, episode 1-9, on YouTube every day. And so when SummerSlam happened, I was excited to see the reaction they'd have to Bray's entrance / match with Finn. It was great, although I'll admit, creepy, yet adorable seeing them sway to his music and singing.
In unison. Daddy.
Catch a fly.
Let us in, Daddy.
I've attached pics of them with their homemade Fiend masks that they have.
Oh, the
point,
yes.
The point of this email is, as a parent, I don't see the point of sensitivity towards Bray. As a kid, we had Kane and The Undertaker, so I hope people can toughen up their kids and not let water them down or change Bray's vision, because he's honestly my kid's favourite wrestler at the moment. We have our Fiend and Muscle Man shirts coming in this week, and they're excited. My wife makes fun of me and the boys calling Bray, and they're my Fireflies. Hashtag proud moment. Thanks for hopefully reading out this email. I appreciate the hard work you do. Love to the Swath Nation. Dave from Massachusetts. And there is his kid. I'm going to open this up into, you can see it full screen.
Oh, lovely. It's essentially a paper plate. That is a great plate.
It is. This is a great plate. Yeah.
With the Fiend's mask drawn on it. Ah, oh, lovely. And there they are watching the Fiend's entrance.
Yep.
That's creepy.
So, yeah, so
you're doing parenting right.
So there you go. So a not-so-concerned parent. I'll be honest, when I got that email in, I was a bit worried, because I did say that people who complain about this sort of thing are a naughty word. And then I said, oh, that's a bit bad of me. But it seems to be okay. I don't think I've got too much backlash. Anyway, that's what we've got time for. We might be back tomorrow, because there's not really a lot happening on NXT. So we may not be doing a show, but we'll certainly see. But we will see you on the Saturday show for sure. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.